Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by discussing the glories of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much. And then with Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you, Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Can you start your camera?
Mataji, camera, it will take some, the network connection is not so strong here. So maybe we'll try next time. Because it will stop in between.
You can try. It will work.
Can it be seen, Mataji?
No, Prabhuji. That's okay, Prabhuji.
So should we, because it will take some more time because network is not very strong, it will break in between.
Okay. You can start the class.
Okay, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'll recite the verse and then start the class. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, text 24.20. I've purposefully taken this shloka and it's also come in the series. And I'll connect it, this shloka, with today's topic also. So I'll recite this shloka. Sa samudram upavistirnam apashyan samahatsara mahamana iva svacham prasannam shalilashayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While travelling, the Prachetas happened to see a great reservoir of water which seemed almost as big as the ocean. The water of this lake was so calm and quiet that it seemed like the mind of a great soul, and its inhabitant, the aquatics, appeared very peaceful and happy to be under the protection of such a watery reservoir. Purport. The word Sa Samudra means near the sea. The reservoir of water was like a bay, for it was not very far from sea. The word Upa, meaning more or less, is used in many ways, as in the word Upapati, which indicates a husband, more or less, that is to say a lover who is acting like a husband. Upa also means greater, smaller or nearer. Considering all these points, the reservoir of water which was seen by the Prachetas while they were travelling was actually like a large bay or lake. And unlike the sea or ocean which was turbulent, which has turbulent waves, this reservoir was very calm and quiet. Indeed, the water was so clear that it seemed like the mind of a great soul. There are many great souls, jnanis, yogis, bhaktas or pure devotees are also called great souls. But they are very rarely found. One can find many great souls amongst yogis and jnanis, but a truly great soul, a pure devotee of the Lord, who is fully surrendered to the Lord, is very rarely found. Sa Mahatma Sudurlava, 7.19 Bhagavad Gita. A devotee's mind is always calm, quiet and desireless because he is always Anya Vilashita Shunya, having no desire other than to serve Krishna as his personal servant, friend, father, mother or conjugal lover. Due to his association with Krishna, a devotee is always very calm and cool. It is also significant that within that reservoir, all the aquatics were also calm and quiet. Because the disciples of a devotee having taken shelter of great souls, they become very calm and quiet and are not agitated by the waves of the material world. This material world is often described as ocean of nisans. In such an ocean, everything is agitated. The mind of great devotee is also like ocean, very large, but there is no agitation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.41, Vyavsayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. Those who are fixed in service to Lord are not agitated by anything. It is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 6.22, Yasmin Stitona Dukkena Gurunapi Vichalyate. Even if he suffers some reversals in life, a devotee is never agitated. Therefore, whoever takes shelter of great souls or great devotee becomes pacified. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayeva Shanta. A devotee of Lord Krishna is always peaceful because he has no desires, whereas the yogi, karmi or jnani are always full of desires. One may argue that devotees have desires or they wish to go back home, back to God. But such a desire does not agitate the mind. Although he wishes to go back to Godhead, a devotee is satisfied in any condition of life. Consequently, the word Mahamana is used in this verse to indicate that the reservoir of water was as calm and quiet as the mind of a great devotee. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminath Namini. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurvani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, so we welcome all devotees for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Grateful to all of you for allowing me to make this presentation. So today we have a very wonderful topic, and also we have a very auspicious day, the appearance day of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Srila Prabhupada. So the shloka exactly matches with the life of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. If we have understood what Prabhupada has given a purport, it exactly matches with the life and teachings of His Divine Grace. So if we see the shloka, it goes, Apashyan, the prachetas are seeing, sir, the reservoir of water. And how was the reservoir of water? It was vistiranam, it was very wide and long. How it was? It was sumahat, it was very great. And suachcha, suachcha means clear. So three qualities are given. Vistirana means very wide and deep. Sumahat means very great. And suachcha means very clear. And then an analogy is given to explain and how it was. Mahatmana, it was like the mind of a great soul. And then the second part of the shloka describes, now this three features, what effect are they having on the residents of the reservoir? So the effect on the associated people were, they were prasanna, they were joyful. And ashayam, they had taken shelter of this great lake. So it looked like a sea, but it was not turbulent. This was a lake which was very big, but was calm and quiet. And thus this comparison is given that this lake seemed, even though it was so deep and great, it was very calm and quiet, just like the mind of a great soul. So this analogy is given, this lake is compared to the mind of a great person. Now why there was no agitation? Prabhupada is giving four reasons why there was no agitation. Why there is no agitation in the mind of a great soul. First, Prabhupada is writing in his purport that they have no personal desires. Their only desire is to serve Lord Krishna. So, there is a Subhashit which gives a comparison between two people. There is a person who is bound.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can you hear Mataji?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a comparison in the Shubhashit that there is a person who is bound, but since he is bound, he is moving all over. And there is one more person who is free, but still is sitting in one place. So who is the person who is bound but still moving all over? Is the person who is having unlimited desires. Even though he is bound by the desires, he is still moving all over to fulfill his desires. But there is one person who is free. Free means he has no material desires, but he is sitting in one place peacefully. Why? Because his desires are not pushing him to move anywhere. But then the question comes, why are they peaceful? Why don't they have any desires? The reason Prabhupada gives is, due to the association with Krishna, he is peaceful. That association of Krishna in the form of his name, fame, his pastimes, that makes the mind free from desires. Third thing Prabhupada is saying, they are fixed in service to the Lord. And since they are absorbed and fixed in service to the Lord, even after their life may have some reversals or disturbance, they don't feel the turbulence of that situation, since they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There is a story that comes, it's a very wonderful story, that how a person can be not disturbed in reversals. So there was a big lake which had many fish, and usually a fisherman used to come and used to catch lots of fish there. So there was quite a disturbance in the community that if this keeps on happening, soon the lake will be empty of fishes. So all the senior members, they came together, and there was an intense meeting that was taking place. But in between this intense meeting, there was a small fish who was running either thither, and he was singing and whistling. Then all of them were amazed to see that this small fish, why is this so happy in this intense situation? And then the senior members, they called this fish and they asked him, how come is that in this intense situation you are so happy and moving freely here and there, whereas we are so bothered about this situation? Then that fish is saying, it's very easy. What happens when the fisherman comes to fish in the lake, I do a small act and that saves me from all danger. And what is that? He says, what I do is, when the fisherman comes, I go and sit near his feet. So usually when a fisherman throws his net, it never touches his feet, because he'll be throwing in the further side. And since it is thrown in the further side, those who are before the fisherman, they get caught in the net. But since I have taken a very humble position at the feet of the fisherman, I don't get caught up. And then they understand that, yes, taking of a humble position at the feet of the fisherman can save somebody from such dangers. Then why can't we, if we take the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why can't we be saved from so many other dangers? And just like the small fish had a quiet and a peaceful mind, similarly the devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, their mind is very peaceful. And that is the main feature. So now what we'll be doing is, we'll be trying to compare the life of Lord Shiva, since this chapter also deals with the life of Lord Shiva and his teachings. We'll try and make a comparison between the teachings and the learnings of Lord Shiva and the life of His Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So now, since the Prachetars are seeing this lake which is very peaceful and calm, and what made this lake so peaceful and calm? Because it was the personal residence of Lord Shiva, which will be very clear in the upcoming verses. Lord Shiva emerges out from that lake, and there is so much of singing and music and dance that is happening. And the atmosphere is so peaceful and calm exclusively because of the association of Lord Shiva. So in previous shloka, it is described that Lord Shiva and his dangerous energies, Ghora. Lord Shiva is staying with his dangerous energies and still he is so peaceful. So how can that be? So the energies of Lord, energy of Lord Shiva is Mother Parvati. So if we see this pastime comes in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and Lord Shiva is about to start his duties of serving Krishna, and then Krishna at the start of the creation, he is fixing all the matches. It means he is trying to make a couple so that they can serve together. So Lord Shiva is peacefully sitting and chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. And then Lord Krishna tells Lord Shiva that here is Mother Parvati and then you will have to marry her now. So he says, what marriage? I don't want to marry anyone. I am happy chanting your names and absorbed in your leela. But then the Lord suggests that she will be helpful to you in your service to me. Then Lord Shiva says, my Lord, she is your external energy Maya. Just staying in contact with her, a living entity who is as pure as yourself, is able to forget you. What to say of forgetting you? He becomes inimical to you. That is the power of this Maya. So do you think that if I am staying in connection with her, will I be able to peacefully chant your names? Then Lord Krishna smiles and says, don't worry, Lord Shiva. You just keep chanting my names and I assure you that this Maya will not touch you. And that is where Lord Shiva accepts. His contact with Lord Krishna has made him unaffected. Just like we see in the 8th canto when Lord Shiva is drinking the halal poison. How come is Lord Shiva able to handle that halal poison which was sufficient to burn the entire creation? So in Maharashtra we have Sant Tukaram. So Sant Tukaram makes it very clear in his Abhangas that since Lord Shiva was continuously chanting the names of Lord Ramachandra, Nama Japati Shulapani. He is saying Shulapani means Lord Shiva is constantly chanting the names of Lord Ram, and that is why the poison didn't affect Lord Shiva. So that is the power of association of Lord Krishna's name. We are not speaking in person. His name is so powerful that even the dangerous poison didn't affect Lord Shiva. Similarly, we see in the third canto when Lord Brahma comes and meets Lord Vishnu, he says, this material energy is so powerful. How can I stay unaffected? He says that you have to constantly meditate on my names and my form, and I assure you that this external nature will not be able to harm you. So just by staying in association with Krishna, all these great personalities have remained unaffected. Suachya. Suachya means swachya, means pure. They have remained unaffected by the effect of the illusory potential of the Lord. And remaining unaffected shows his greatness, that it is so sumahat, it is so powerful. And he remains unaffected as his mind is deep and filled with the thoughts of serving Krishna. How? How is Lord Shiva's mind, which is so deep and filled with thoughts of serving Krishna, remain unaffected? Because he is performing the best welfare activities. And what is that best welfare activity? Bringing all the souls close to Krishna. So these three qualities, that is, first is greatness, second is depth, and third is clarity. These are the three qualities that are given in the shloka. And we'll take these three qualities and then move ahead in our presentation by comparing the life of Lord Shiva and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur. So first, just like the lake was very great, so first quality is greatness. So the quality of greatness, it seems, is seen by the level of compassion a person has for others. Just like in 8th canto, 8, 7, 38, 39, we see that Lord Shiva, when the halal poison is now coming out, it is saying asam prana parepsunam vidyayam abayam hime. He is saying to Parvati, Lord Shiva is saying to Mother Parvati, vidyayam abayam hime, I am the maintainer of the creation here, And now the entire creation is bhayabhit, is now fearful, and it is me, he may. I have to make them abhayam. How will I do that? I will do this by drinking the poison. And to drink poison, he first goes and seeks permission of his wife, Mata Parvati. Now somebody may ask why he has to ask for permission, because she is Ardha Angini. His half body is representation of her. So when you are using somebody's property, you have to ask for permission. And he seeks permission. And seeing his mindset, Yada Dina Paripalanam. He is the one who gives protection to the suffering dependents. Paripalanam. He does the Paripalan activity. And then she says, okay, you can help them. So we see Lord Shiva is trying to save the bodies of the different living entities by giving protection against the halal poison. But in the next shloka, Lord Shiva is saying something more wonderful. He's saying, Prane swai pranina panti sadhava shanabhangura baddha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshu atma mayaya. He's saying, but if we saving the body is good, but there is something that is more beneficial to the conditioned entity. Mohiteshu atma mayaya. Saving them from the illusory energy, that is even more greater service. And how does a great soul does it? Sadhava kshanabhangura. The body which is temporary, kshanabhangura body, he uses his entire existence, Baddha Vaireshu Bhuteshu, in saving the Baddha Jivatma who have now become inimical. Baddha Vaireshu Bhuteshu, inimical against themselves, against one another. And this is where we see the lives of great souls who risk their own life. Lord Shiva risked his own life by drinking that halal poison. Similarly, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saras Thakur also risked his life to protect the living entities. How did he protect the living entities? By establishing proper siddhantas of the spiritual life. Because without siddhanta, a sadhaka is not assured of gaining success in his spiritual life. And how long did Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur go? He was ready to sacrifice his entire existence. We'll see in two or three past times how he did that. His pranam mantra includes apasiddhantva dvantva harine rupanuga viruddha. Anybody who is against the siddhanta that is given by Srila Rupa Goswami, he is dvantva, he is ready to break it. That is his pranam mantra. His existence was merely and totally meant to uphold the siddhantas that were given by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, if we read his bhajan, Dushtaman, actually the real name of that bhajan is Vaishnavakke, means how does one come to a real understanding of who a Vaishnava is? And the category is Manashiksha, is trying to train his mind in understanding what a real Vaishnava is. So, in the first stanza itself, is so very powerful, is writing Dushtaman, Tumi Kisera Vaishnava. Pratishtaratare nirjanera ghare tava hari nama kevala kaitav. And this is exactly matching with the second shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 1, where kaitava dharma is criticized. Why was Srimad Bhagavatam written? Because kaitava dharma had come through the medium of the Puranas, which didn't make clear what is the real goal of life. And that is why Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha became so popular that devotional service to Lord Hari was completely covered up. And that is why Bhagavatam says, Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra Parama Nirmatsaranam Satam. Means completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. And this Srimad Bhagavatam will give the highest truth, which is exclusively understandable by those who are fully pure in heart. Where there is kaitava, then those people will not be able to understand the highest truth. And what is the highest truth of Srimad Bhagavatam? It is Sharanagati. Total, complete surrender to the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. That is the goal of human form of life, to please Lord Krishna by lovingly serving Him. And that is why in 8.7.40, they are saying, Pumsa Kripayato Badre Sarvatma Priyate Hari. So if we want to please Hari, this is Lord Shiva again saying to Mata Parvati, he is saying, if you want to please Hari, Sarvatma, how is Lord Hari? Sarvatma, he is the super soul in everybody's heart, Priyate Hari. So if you want to priyate, if you want to please Him, what we have to do? Pumsa Kripayato Badre, we have to engage in the welfare activities for the condition. So that pleases Lord Shri Hari the most. So what is the best welfare activity for the conditioned soul? Is to tell them about the Siddhantas, a clear-cut understanding of the Siddhantas of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is how His Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur risked His life in preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya without deviation. So there was, when he was a young boy, and he was staying with his father in Shridham Puri. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, every day he used to give classes on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the writings of the six Goswamis. So there was this Radha Charan Das Babaji Maharaj, Babaji, who was very popular at that time. And then he said, this Radha Raman Charan Das Babaji said that Lord Chaitanya came and gave me this mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhesham Hare Krishna Hare Ram, and he was propagating it very widely. And by this propagation, and sometimes he used to come in ecstasy and roll in ecstasy, and he was attracting quite a lot of educated crowd, and he was totally humble in his behavior. But sometimes he used to dance like a gopi before Lord Jagannath on Geet Govinda, sometimes dressing. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't like all this. And usually Radharaman Charandas Babaji, he used to come to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his classes, and he used to appreciate a lot. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur never took question and answers when Radharaman Charandas Babaji used to come there. Why? Because he knew that his teachings are not totally pure and are not in line with Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So he usually used to avoid question and answers, and Radharaman Das Babaji used to appreciate Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was also sitting in that class. As soon as the class used to get over, he used to bounce from his seat and ask so many questions, exclusively pointing towards Radharaman Das Babaji and trying to show the flaws in his philosophy and what he was presenting. And he was so bold, he couldn't resist himself asking those questions. So he couldn't tolerate somebody fiddling with the Siddhantas. And his activities were causing so much of strife in between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Radharaman Das Babaji. So Radharaman Babaji once came and told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, your son, you're speaking such wonderful philosophy, but your son is so fiery that sometimes his behavior is so harsh, we can't handle it. And his behavior, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's behavior, was making him more unpopular rather than making him positively popular. And that is where once Bhaktivinoda Thakur called him and he instructed him. He didn't chastise him, he instructed him. He said, see, a Vaishnava should be polite in his behavior. Then whoever he may be a devotee, non-devotee, sahaja, anything, we are not concerned about. But a Vaishnava is always polite in his dealings with others. But I see that you are always fighting with others, having a verbal fight, trying to present yourself in a very different way. And that is where Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he instructed him. He said, I feel that you need to do more bhajan. Why? Because he said, now see, this is a very bold statement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that you should do more bhajan because I feel that you lack Vaishnava qualities, especially the quality of being polite and being tolerant. And that is why I feel you should do more bhajan. And that struck Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur so deeply, so deeply. He didn't say anything to his father that, no, this is again Siddhanta, that he exclusively accepted what his father said. He left home to perform bhajan in Mayapur. And at that time, Mayapur was only rice fields. There was nothing else. So he left Puri and came to Mayapur. And then he started staying at the house where, which was the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. So sitting alone, he just constructed one kutir, small kutir for himself, so that he could protect his bhajan. And for 9 years, every day he was chanting 192 rounds. He accepted the shwana vritti. Shwana vritti is the vritti of a dog, means to eat by, lick by your mouth. So he used to cook once a day and used to throw it on the floor, and how much ever his mouth could pick, that was his food for the day, and that's it. So that marble floor on which he used to throw is still there in Mayapur. If you go to where the samadhi is, they have kept it. So that was the austerity that he started performing. And after 9 years, one day one Babaji from Mayapur came and told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if he continues like this, I don't think he'll survive for long. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, see, I know, I can tell him, but he'll not listen to me. I know his nature. He is very swabhimani. He will not listen to me and he'll not stop his bhajan. Only Lord Chaitanya can stop him from all this. And I want to see what is Lord Chaitanya's plan for him. And then after 9 years and some months, then one day when he was performing his sadhana, a paper flew and stuck on his mouth. And that was the shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is instructing Srila Rupa Goswami to go and excavate different places of Lord Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan and re-establish the siddhantas given by Lord Chaitanya. So that was the signal. And also it is said that the Panchatattva came after his sadhana for 9 years was over. Panchatattva personally came and gave him darshan, and Panchatattva assured him of all support for his preaching. He said, you just go and preach. We will send you money, we will send you people, we will send you all facilities. You just go and preach. And that is how he started on that day itself. In one day he registered Gaudiya Math. And that is how he started his preaching. So how did all this start? It started because he couldn't stand up a Siddhanta. He was ready to fight with others, not only fight. He was so boldly preaching that people had fixed to kill His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this is the event which took place in Vrindavan. The police officers, when he was in Vrindavan, had already tipped him off that people are behind you, you better be cautious. We have got money to shoot you, but since you are a great sadhu, we will not shoot you. But please mind that people are behind you and please take care of yourself. So what happened once they were on the parikrama in Vrindavan, some goons attacked them and there was such a huge chaos and panic among devotees. Everything was haywire and everybody started running here and there. And in that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj had one of his disciples whose name was Vinod Bihari Brahmachari. So he looked exactly like his Guru Maharaj. He looked exactly like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So immediately he said, Vinod Bihari Brahmachari, he took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in a secluded place. So they exchanged their dresses. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took the white dress of Vinod Bihari Brahmachari, and Vinod Bihari Brahmachari, who exactly looked like his Guru Maharaj, he took his saffron sannyasi dress and he went ahead, and through the back doors, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to run away. So that was the risk he was taking to present the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. He was so bold. Even when he used to write articles, his articles were so clear-cut. He wrote one article on Putana. And in that article, he wrote how Putana came in disguise to destroy Krishna. And at the end, he concluded that all these bogus religions that are spreading all over the world are like Putana, and they're trying to destroy the general masses' desire to love and serve Krishna. And then he gives one example. He writes, they are just like a dam was trying to stop the flow of the natural flowing river water. And what does one do by putting a dam? They use it for their own purpose. And that is what these religions are doing. They are just like Putanam. This is how he used to compare. He was so bold and strong in his preaching. And one more sign of greatness is the quality of simplicity. So in his Vyas Puja offering, when his Vyas Puja was done, so he, when he spoke, when he was about to give a lecture to his disciples, he started his Vyas Puja offering by addressing his disciples as, "My dear friends." That was the limit to which he felt that more than being a guru, I am more in service. This is a service that I am doing for my Guru Maharaj by becoming your teacher, your mentor. So he said, "My dear friends who are protecting me from all dangers." This is how he has started his offering to his disciples. And he was always in the consciousness that I am not your guru. You are sent to me by my spiritual master to guide you. And you are direct representatives of my spiritual master. And he was so simple and so humble that anybody who used to come him used to say them, "Dasusmi, I am your servant. I am your servant." Anybody used to address, newcomer, oldcomer, any devotee, used to address them as Dasusmi. So he was so deeply fixed in this consciousness that this is the service that I am doing on behalf of my spiritual master. I am not a guru. I am the servant of the servant, Dasusmi. In that mood, he used to do this service. And the second point is the depth. So his depth of understanding was great. It was very deep, not just superficial. Just like Lord Shiva is saying in one of in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Daksha's pastime, he's saying when the entire yajna is destroyed, and then Lord Shiva is pleased, and after Lord Shiva is pleased, again the yajna is reinstated. And everything is smooth, but now Daksha has a goat's head, and then Lord Vishnu finally appears there, and everybody is offering their prayers to Lord Vishnu. And that is where Lord Shiva says, he is saying to Lord Vishnu, "That's my Lord, my mind was fixed on your lotus feet." And those who have a superficial knowledge, and Lord Shiva's anger hasn't still fully subsided, and that is why he is pointing towards Daksha and saying, those whose knowledge don't have proper knowledge, those who have superficial understanding of the Shastras, they feel that I have broken the rules of conduct, that is of not getting up when Daksha came there. So Lord Shiva is saying that one should not see any situation on a superficial level. You have to go deep into that situation to understand the need of the person. Just like Daksha couldn't understand the need of Lord Shiva, that he is used every now and then to meditating on the beautiful pastimes or the form or the name of the Lord. He couldn't understand his need. And that is where preaching comes. Preaching means understanding the needs and trying to accommodate those needs in Krishna consciousness. Just like Kalakanta Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, he was giving this example. One of his godbrothers, I don't remember his name, but he's also Prabhupada's disciple. And he was a Catholic initially, Catholic, from a Catholic background. And he had a girlfriend who was also from a Catholic background. And they both got married. And just after their marriage, they came in contact with Prabhupada. Initially, only Prabhuji came in contact and Mataji didn't come. So he was so happy that he got a proper bona fide guru, and he came back home so happy, and he was in such joyful mood. So Mataji asked, "How come you are so happy?" He said, "I met a very bona fide guru and I want you to meet him." she said, okay, I can try, but I won't assure that I will be following him. She said, okay, just meet my guru. So he brought Mataji to the temple. And what happened was, all the devotees were quite new. And as soon as both of them came to the temple, the devotees who were very new, they immediately started bombarding the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And how did they start the entire session? They said, this material world is a miserable place. If you don't surrender to Krishna, your life is useless. And Mataji, for the first time, she is coming to temple and she is hearing, world is a dukkhalayam and you are miserable. She said, I am totally happy with however, whatever I am. And that time she told that I won't be coming to temple anymore and never in my life will I chant Hare Krishna or say Hare Krishna. This is her first experience in the temple. And Prabhuji was trying to somehow make her understand this, that. And what happened that after some months, again, Prabhupada came at that center. And this time Prabhuji requested Mataji, once you meet my Guru Maharaj, and if you don't feel comfortable, don't come again. And she had vowed, I will never say Hare Krishna. And somehow she came and met Prabhupada. And the entire event of meeting Prabhupada was so blissful for her, that Prabhupada, from the entire event, Prabhupada didn't say Hare Krishna, no, nothing, nothing, how are you, what is going on in your life, what you like, what you don't like, this, that. And she was so happy that, yes, this person is a very proper person. And when she was about to leave, and just like we say bye-bye, then Prabhupada in his regular tone, he said, okay, Hare Krishna. And she so spontaneously replied back to Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. And Prabhuji was so shocked that for so long she didn't chant Hare Krishna or say Hare Krishna, but just by one meeting with Prabhupada, she started chanting. Why? Because Prabhupada could understand her needs. To preach anybody, you have to have a proper way and a form. And then that person becomes attracted towards Krishna consciousness. So preaching can be bold, but it has to be in a way that we don't commit any Vaishnava aparad in that whole event. So in this bhajan, which His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has written, Vaishnav Ke, he is also mentioning about the Vaishnava aparad, how we have to be very careful in our dealings with the other Vaishnavas. Once one preacher, he came and accused him that you are committing Vaishnava aparad. He, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, calmly said, first know who a Vaishnava is. Don't consider yourself as a Vaishnava. And that is when he started writing this bhajan, Vaishnava Ke. He was very well aware of all the siddhantas, even Vaishnava aparad, how dangerous it can be. But for committing Vaishnava aparad, that person has to be a Vaishnava first. This story comes in his life when his brother Achyutananda, he was in his final days, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was a young boy then, and he was serving his brother. And when he was in his final moments, at that time, a tilak from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya appeared on his forehead. And when his brother could feel that something has appeared, he asked Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, how did this tilak come? And that is where Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said that you were a Sri Vaishnava in your previous life, but since you had committed some mistake, you had to take one more birth. But don't worry, this is your final journey, and now you are going back to Krishna. So yes, we are aware of the siddhantas, we are aware, but for that we have to be constantly reading the teachings of the acharyas, and we have to always see the connection. Just like once there was a devotee in Gaudiya Math, and everybody criticized him for his wrong behavior. Everybody knew that he was doing something wrong, and when devotees came to know, they asked Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada. He said, even Prabhupada said that, yes, he is behind things, he is not behind devotion to Krishna. And then over a period of time, this devotee from Gaudiya Math, who was in a wrong behavior and improper conduct, he left his body. And when devotees, now as devotees, sometimes we are more interested in a person who is not following rules than a person who is doing all those sadhana nicely. So devotees came and asked Prabhupada, "Now Prabhupada, now that he has left his body, where will you go?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, he will go back to Godhead." Everybody was surprised. How come he is going back? Prabhupada, you said he is not interested in Krishna, he is interested in things. How can he go back to God? Then Prabhupada said, please make your understanding very clear. He said, my Guru Maharaj is very merciful. Since he is connected to a great Acharya, his connection to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is a saving grace. Just like in Gajendra Moksha, the crocodile was connected to Gajendra, and hence his connection to Gajendra saved him from the body of crocodile. He was also delivered. Why? Because he was connected, and not only he was humbly connected, he was catching hold of the feet of Gajendra. And that is why he got, his connection to a pure devotee gave him that liberation from the body of a crocodile. And that is why the Siddhantas have to be very clear. Who is what, how to see a devotee, how to, of course we don't have to judge, but how to understand that whether a devotee who is a non-devotee, who is a practitioner, who is a sadhaka. Same one event happened when during Parikrama, there were many sadhus who were sitting and doing their bhajan. So immediately there was talk among the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur that, oh, such great devotees, and they are doing such bhajan here in Vrindavan and in this dham, and they are so great. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur heard this conversation that was happening, and he said, they are not great devotees, they are just neophytes. And everybody was shocked. How come for so long they have been here in Vrindavan and they are doing such intense bhajan? And that is where he said, the message of Lord Chaitanya is what? Sarvatra prachar vaibho moranam, nagaradigram, everywhere my names have to be chanted, and that prachar has to happen. The sign of advanced devotee is he who carries out the order of Lord Chaitanya by preaching his message. That is the sign of an advanced devotee. So that is, again, he made things very clear, how to differentiate between a devotee. What are the signs? What are the symptoms? He made it very clear through his teachings. Then also, one more thing we see in Lord Shiva's life, that he is extremely simple. Externally, if you see Lord Shiva, he is extremely simple. At times, you can find Lord Shiva only on a kopin. There are mentions about this in the Puranas, where Lord Shiva is found in Kopin because he is completely unaware of the surrounding. He has nothing to do. There is a pastime when on his housewarming day, he gave his house in donation. That is the renunciation he has. Once Ravana performed tapasya to please Lord Shiva. And when Lord Shiva, who is Ashutosh, Ashutosh means he is very quickly pleased because he doesn't need anything of this material world. He is simply happy by seeing that, oh, somebody is trying to call me. That's it. That made him happy. So he asked, okay, who are you? He said, I am Ravan. Okay, what do you want? He said, I want Parvati Devi. So can you imagine somebody asking a person, I want your wife. And Lord Shiva is totally absorbed. He says, okay, take. And it is not a case where Lord Shiva is frustrated in his married life. No, he is so satisfied internally, he doesn't need anything. He is constantly absorbed in Krishna. It doesn't take anything external to please Lord Shiva's senses. Just by chanting Lord Krishna's name, he is happy. He is so simple, and that is why 422, he said, Atma Ramam Katam Dveshti. Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev, he is so amazed. How can somebody who is Atma Rama, who is so self-satisfied, how can somebody be Dveshti? How can somebody envy such a kind of person? Daksha pastime, in second chapter, he is asking this question, and that is where the Daksha pastime continues. Similarly, just like Lord Shiva, internally he is so satisfied, externally he has nothing. He is unaware of the external world. But on the contrary, if you see the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, now Lord Shiva's life and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's Maharaj's life is almost same. Totally satisfied in themselves. Sometimes Babaji, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is eating mud from Ganga just to satisfy his belly. And he used to eat mud and looking at his belly, he used to say, you know, shut up and let me do my bhajan. So simple. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj didn't like all this follower stuff and big temple. He was so disconnected from the world that he used to sit in a toilet and chant so that nobody approaches him. He never used to go to any opulent places, no opulent clothing, no meeting rich people or famous people. No, he was completely cut off from the mainstream. But if we see the life of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, it was exactly opposite to that of His Guru Maharaj. He opened 64 Gaudiya Math, opulent temples, opulent worship, fund collection, printing presses, Dairoma exhibition, car, inviting government officials, meeting kings, guiding them, thousands of disciples. It seems that he was exactly behaving opposite to the teachings of his Guru Maharaj, but no. He could understand and read the mind of his Guru Maharaj. He could understand his desire was to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya all over. And for this strong desire of his spiritual master, he could understand that there is a need to change according to the time. Because if you sit in a toilet and chant, nobody is going to come today to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If you don't have opulent temples, nobody is going to come. So to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya according to time, place and circumstances, but keeping the principle same, he did all these things. Just like in 7th canto, after the pastime of Narasingha, Prahlad Maharaj pastimes ends there, and there is the Varnashram system that is coming up, and the dress code of a brahmachari is that brahmachari has to wear a valkal vastra. Now if you have to apply this valkal vastra means deer skin. Now if a brahmachari has to wear deer skin today, first of all you have to have a deer, you have to hunt a deer, you have to kill a deer, get his skin. The first thing you do at kill a deer is you get imprisoned. How do you follow your brahmachari life? So valkal vastra is indicative of the principle of simplicity. So what is the most simple clothing in modern times? It is cotton clothing. Just wear cotton dhoti and cotton kurta. That's it. That is the principle. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur kept the principle same. He didn't compromise with the principles. No. But external appearances, he change so that he could attract people. And the third and the last point is clarity. He had a very clear-cut understanding. If you read this bhajan, Dushta Man, Tumi Kishera Vaishnava, Pratishtara Tare Nirjane Ragare, Tava Harinama Keval Kaita. If you are trying to chant alone, your Harinam is nothing but just a show of business. His ideas about what bhajan is, how bhajan has to be done, what is the mindset of the bhajan, these 19 shlokas make it very, very clear. Everything is clear. The purpose of bhajan is clear. The mindset of bhajan is clear. What is to be expected out of bhajan, that is clear. Everything. That clarity, he had such clarity in what he was doing. He was completely clear about the purpose. For example, even this is seen in his early life. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he completed his education, his elder brother got him a job in the kingdom of King of Tripura. So there he was given accounts to handle. And now he was very sharp in his job. So immediately in some few days he could understand that there is so much of corruption here. And in a very short period of time, he exposed the entire corruption. And because of his straightforward nature, he could understand that I am serving here. Service means it has to be pure service. There can't be any corruption. So if I have to serve the king of Tripura, I can't handle corruption. I have to expose it. He exposed and all the employees were against him. Everybody was against him. He became completely unpopular. Nobody used to come near him, nobody talking. But the king was very happy. But then, since he couldn't fit in the job, he gave up that job. And when he gave up that job, the king was so very happy with this service because it saved a lot of money for the king. That the king, when he resigned his job, the king gave him a lifelong pension. Can you imagine? He served only for a short period of time. He gave up his job, but the king was so happy with his work that he gave. But why did he do? Because his principles were very clear that everything here belongs to the king. Similarly, he was very clear about his principles that whatever comes in my life belongs to my guru and Krishna, nobody else. Krishna is giving me so that I can serve him nicely, and that I have to return it back to Krishna. The same thing happened in 1911, Midnapur, the famous book we have in our society also, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. This was the Midnapur assembly that took place, and there was such a huge battle that was going on between the Smartha Brahmanas and the Vaishnava community. The Smartha Brahmanas were not ready to accept Vaishnava philosophy. They always said birth, Brahmana means Brahmana by birth, and Brahmana means his superior. And that is where invitation came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, saying that please, we need your help in making Vaishnava Sampradaya a bona fide Sampradaya and making the principles of Vaishnava philosophy very clear. And at that time Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very sick, so he called Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, was a very young boy that time, and he told that you have to attend this, so can you help me with this? And that evening His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he compiled an essay. That evening he compiled an essay, he showed it to his father, read the entire article before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so happy when he read the entire essay. He said, yes, he is the ray of Vishnu for whom I was waiting. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur went to that assembly, 3 days nobody, only the Brahmanas were speaking, how Brahmanas are great, this Purana is saying this, this is saying this, this is saying, and I quoting from n number of scriptures. And on the third day he was allowed to speak, and in 3 sessions he presented his essay. And when his essay was over, nobody from the Brahmana community could speak a word, because he had quoted from such scriptures, this shloka from this Purana and that Upanishad, this, that. They were totally flabbergasted. And the Vaishnava community, who felt that they had lost, but when they understood that the Vaishnava Siddhanta are so clearly established here, thousands and thousands of people broke all the barricades and were just running so that they could get the dust off his feet. So the police had to do a lathi charge to stop them, otherwise His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would have been hurt. So what they did, they said, what you want the dust? Okay, we'll give you dust. So they got a big barrel filled with water, they put the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in that barrel, and they got a motor and a pipe, and through that pipe they sprinkled the Mahaprasad water from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's lotus feet on all the assembled Vaishnavas. So that was the popularity he got, but never did that popularity enter and give him that ego that yes, I am great. No, every moment he was just thinking how I can serve Krishna and how I can serve my Guru Maharaj. That's it. His purpose was very clear. Just like that lake which was very clear, his purpose and understanding was very clear. My existence, every penny of mine is just for the service of my Guru. We have that famous pastime when offering was made to Gandharvika Giridhari, Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari, and a monkey came and took away some bananas. He was running for that banana. Now, did that banana cost so much? No, what was his thought? That everything here belongs to Krishna, nobody else can enjoy it before Krishna. That was the clarity of Siddhanta, that was the clarity of purpose he had. And he was always against all this sadhus who were propagating that we will give the Siddha Pranali Mantra. So many people used to come and tell Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, please give us the Siddha Pranali Mantra. He said, we have only one Siddha Pranali Mantra in Gaudiya Math, that is Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapasishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadari. That's it. Chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra in this mood and you will be revealed of your real identity in the spiritual world. That was his clarity. He said, don't go anywhere. Everything is there in this Mahamantra. It is self-sufficient. It is completely itself. You don't have to do anything. Just chant sincerely. Chant attentively. That is it. And you can solve all the problems and this human life will have a great success. So he, in his instruction, final instruction, he had made it very clear that the goal of human life is to continuously serve Lord Krishna 24 hours a day. He didn't allow his brahmachari idle time. He didn't give facilities to his brahmachari. Why? Because if too many facilities are given, you will become lazy. Once a brahmachari was sitting in afternoon and he was just relaxing on a chair, he came there and he said, why are you thinking about illicit relation? He said, illicit relation, I'm just relaxing. He said, no time to relax. If you keep your mind empty, eventually it will be filled with thoughts to enjoy. So initially facilities were given very less. The simple reason is, just like if we have hunger in our belly, then the food will nourish. If we are tired, then the sleep will nourish. Similarly, if we have hunger, then the food will nourish. But till what time the food will nourish? The food will nourish till the hunger is satisfied. But if once the hunger is satisfied, if you eat more, if you keep on eating more, that same food will start harming you. That same thing will start harming you. And that is the same point he is trying to focus in the third paragraph of his bhajan, Dushtaman. He is saying, Tumara kanaka bhogera janaka, kanakera dwara seva ho madhav. Madhav means the master of Lakshmi, Lord Krishna. Kaminira kama nahetava dhama, tahara malika kevala yadav. Your master is only Krishna. And tumara kanak, if your wealth, bhogera janak, janak means master. If you don't utilize it in the service of Janak or Krishna, then eventually you will be lost. You will be totally ruined by that same wealth. And that is how he continues in the fourth shloka saying, Pratishthasa taru jadamaya maru, no pele Ravana yujiya ragav. What did Ravan do? Yujiya ragav. He tried to use Lord Ramachandra's wealth, Mother Sita, in his own service. And that is the same thing that caused his ruination. And that is where same thing happened with Gaudiya Math. When facilities started to increase, desire to serve Lord and purify the senses gradually started to reduce. And the same facilities which initially helped them increase their momentum to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya now started destroying them. And that is where Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told Srila Prabhupada that there is fire in the mutt. Why fire? Fire is Rudra Tattva. It is Shiva Tattva. Hanumanji is the 12th of among the Rudra Tattva. He is also the 12th incarnation of Lord Shiva. Now Hanumanji, see, fire, when it is controlled, that fire can cook such tasty food. But if that fire goes beyond control, the food is completely burned. It cannot be even tasted. It will lose everything. The charm, the texture, the smell, everything will be lost. Hanumanji, initially, that fire which was set on his tail was so small. But eventually that fire, which could have helped so much, burned the entire Lanka. Similarly, anger that Hanumanji had was small. But when he became uncontrolled, he didn't even figure out that he was burning the entire Lanka and Mata Sita was also in that same Lanka. So when he goes to the shore and when he puts his tail in water to extinguish the fire, that time he realizes, oh my God, what have I done? My anger in the form of this fire has burnt the entire Lanka. So what would have happened to Mata Sita? Is she safe? So he goes back again. But he is in such repentance, and in that repentance he's speaking about the dangers of fire. That same fire which, if controlled, can do such wonderful things. But if it uncontrolled, it can burn the entire existence. At times it can't burn bhakti, but it can surely cover up the bhakti. And that is what happened in the Gaudiya Math history. That is why here in the 11th and the 12th shloka of his bhajan, he is saying, Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini. That Kanak means the money and gold, and Kamini, that influence, Pratishta, the name, fame, is like Vagini. If you are not aware, that same thing will destroy you. Why? It is like a tigress. That is why he is saying, what should be the mindset? Sei anasakta, sei shuddha bhakta. One who is using, remaining detached, everything in the service of Lord Hari, that you have to understand. Sei shuddha bhakta, that is the definition of a shuddha bhakta, a real devotee. And then he says, tatha paya parabhava. Otherwise, life will be a great failure if you are not cautious. And in the 12th shloka, he is saying, yata yogya bhoga, nahi taha roga, anasakti si ki arakavo. You have to remain detached. Asakti rohito, sambandha sahita, vishaya samuha, sakali madhava. When we are remaining detached and then using all the things in the service of madhava, then you can remain safe. So we have to pray on this auspicious day of his appearance that whatever this 19 shlokas he has given in the form of his bhajan, we could inculcate them in our life, we can progress in our devotional service and also remain protected from all the dangers in devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Bhakti Siddhanta. Glory. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the very wonderful class. Thank you for the beautiful analysis. Comparing with the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and excellent Mataji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the
call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice, amazing class. So, Prabhuji, I missed some points. So you were telling the story about crocodile. What was that, like, you know?
Story of crocodile was the connection with devotees is always a saving grace. So that was the point we made. Just like the disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was making mistakes. Prabhupada said he is going wrong. But when he left his body, Prabhupada said that since he was connected to a powerful guru, he'll be surely saved in due course of time. So that is where we gave the analogy of Gajendra and the crocodile. Since crocodile was connected to Gajendra, pure devotee of the Lord, he was also rescued from the precarious condition.
And you were saying about the, he gave the house in charity on the housewarming day. Was that the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur?
No, Mataji, that is the pastime of Lord Shiva. We made that, we told that pastime to show that how detached he was from the material objects. But internally, why he was so detached? Because internally he was satisfied and so externally he was detached. So that is the example we gave of Lord Shiva. That on his, he built a new home so that his family could stay. But he was so detached that when somebody asked him, please give me something in charity, and only house was remaining. He said, take the house also. We can stay as usual below a tree. And that is again the whole family shifted back to the same tree where they were living. So that is the story of Lord Shiva.
Okay, and who was working with the king? Like
It was Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. He was working for the king of Tripura.
Oh, when means before?
No. After he finished his college, at that time his elder brother got him a job for some time, and that is when he was working for the king of Tripura.
Okay, got it. And Prabhuji, you were singing that bhajan. So where is that bhajan could be?
It is there in Vaishnava songbook also, Maharaj. I can send you. No problem. But it is there in Vaishnava songbook.
You sent something in the group, Prabhuji. What is that?
That one is written by the disciple of His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj has compiled that stava in glorification of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. So you can find that on internet also. If you type the first line, you can find that.
What is the first line?
The first line, if you could hold 1 minute, I can get to you. The first line of that bhajan is Sujan Buddha Radhita Pada Yugam. You just cut the first line and paste it in Google, you will get it, Mataji. They have sung and also given that. So the tune is also there on Google.
Yeah, that one you already gave, but you in the class you said something else.
I said something else in the class.
Yeah, written by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's what you were saying.
So that is the same bhajan, Dushta Man, Tumi Kisera Vaishno, that bhajan. Only two bhajans have been written by Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. So one is this Dushta Man, that I sang.
Okay. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very, very beautiful class.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Anybody else has any questions?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavad Pranam. Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. And while you are talking about the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's qualities, could not help but thinking of our Srila Prabhupada. So many similarities, like preaching boldly, never compromising on the Siddhanta. So beautiful. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yes, thank you so much for reminding. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Prabhuji, how nicely you explained what should have been moved to serve Srila Prabhupada. You explained the story that Mataji is not ready to take Hare Krishna. Sometimes we are so excited to give a Krishna consciousness concept to other Vaishnavas and bombarding from Srila Bhagavatam, Srila Bhagavati. So it is by Krishna's mercy one become a devotee. And the mood of Srishi Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to serve Dasos, whatever we learn from Senior Vaishnava. Prabhuji, you cover so many points. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. If it is possible, can you sing one Vaishnava bhajan? Teach us one Vaishnava bhajan.
Pardon, Mataji, last line, what you said?
Can you please teach us one Vaishnava bhajan for all of us?
Mataji, I have to go for a service, so maybe next time. Is it okay if we do it next time?
Prabhu.
Sorry, Mataji, but we can plan it surely next time.
Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to you,
yes,
Srila Prabhu.
Thank
please
you so
give
much.
Your association regularly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class today. All the pastimes you talked about for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur were amazing, how relevant they are in even today's context. So thank you so much for that analogy, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
And again, we are very grateful to you for your association today and really look forward to having it again in future.
Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
That we would like to wrap up today's call. वंशकर्तृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. ग्रन्था श्रीमद्भागवतं की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. His grace to Kumar Gaur Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare